Turn with me, if you will, please, to the 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel. Continue talking about Jesus' definition, working practical definitions of faith. I'll begin reading with verse 7 and read through verse 17. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Father, we ask that you will teach us this morning. Teach us how to hear. Speak, we pray, through your word. In Jesus' name. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. All too often when faith is discussed or preached or taught, it's talked about as power to get things from God. If you have enough faith, you're going to be healed. If you have enough faith, you'll get that job. If you have faith, you'll get whatever it is you really want. We ought to face up to the fact that much interest in faith, at least faith like this, is very thinly disguised greed. And there's not a whole lot of difference between some radio and TV shows that are advertising faith and the radio and TV shows that have somebody on there making, you know, a new car or getting some gift. I suppose they're fun to watch, but basically everyone sitting there identifies with those people that are winning those prizes, and it's greed that drives us on. I know I was in scenic Akron, Ohio, 2 or 3 weeks ago for my winter vacation, and watched my dear dad and mother, and they were raving about this fellow that had been on this program for a long time, and my, he had won so many. It was very important how much he'd won. That's very important to the world and everything. But our interest in faith is very often like that. If I could just have more faith, then I could move up from a Ford to a Mercury or maybe even a Lincoln. You know, faith. But is faith just a power to make our lives more comfortable? Is faith that which even makes our lives just more meaningful? If I have faith, is the reason that I have faith so I can get things together? What did Jesus mean when he said, if you abide in me, you can ask whatever it is you want, and I'll give it to you? We've all kind of subconsciously at one time or another, well, I wish I could get really that place where I'm abiding in him. I've got my eye on just that place, you know. But we need to see that the important part of these passages is not ask what you will. It's there, and I can't water it down. I don't minimize it. But the important part is the front part of both of those things. If you abide in me, if you do what I tell you to do, we need to see that faith is that which enlightens us to God's view of life. I can't think that God was too excited whether that fellow had won 6 or 8 times in a row and how many cars he'd won and so forth. I can't think God was too excited about that. And I can't think that God is always so excited about a lot of the material things we're concerned about either. Faith is that which enlightens us to God's view of life. Faith is that which equips us to fill the place that God has for us in His body, the church. And faith is that which enables the power of God to flow through us to accomplish His purpose. And we need to emphasize this God-centered nature of true faith. God's life, God's abundance flowing through us, God's purpose. We talked about last week, life and abundance and purpose. Today, just 2 points. I'm doing this for several reasons. I was shooting to quit at 1/4 of, but I'm going to let you out long before 12 so that you can take advantage of that invitation for that open house. Just 2 points. Doesn't seem like a real sermon without 3 points, does it? All sermons are divided into 3 parts. Faith means abiding in Christ. Anything which is less than a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is less than saving faith. And anything that hinders our personal fellowship with Jesus is a hindrance to faith. And so we could say then, abiding in Christ means fellowship with Him. Reality of fellowship with Him. And sin breaks that fellowship. Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:9 that we must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. And so anything that legitimately clouds our conscience, anything that legitimately brings guilt to us, is a hindrance to this faith, so that we can't ask for what we want with confidence if there's sin involved. Jesus said, "Abide in me." Any known sin breaks the power of our faith. Someone says, "I just can't seem to believe God. I can't seem to get victory in this situation." One of my first questions is, where are you in relationship to sin? Are there known breaks with God's will in your life? Are you living in known sin? And so often we have it preached that, you know, we just believe that Jesus died and we receive eternal life, and it really, we have to sin every day in word, thought, and deed. I want to tell you that if we're living in known sin, we have no power of faith. Any repressed sin, that is sin that we may have shoved back off somewhere and we won't admit it to ourselves, breaks the power of faith in our life. Any careless sin, if we could call it sin, that which we just don't pay much attention to, will break the power of our faith. That's why we need to stay up to date with a 1 John 1:7 and 1 John 1:9 type of walking in the light. Jesus said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That was written to the church. It was written to Christians. I know it's not popular to preach it, but that's the way it was anyhow. And the reason that was preached that way is so that our faith would be intact. And if there are breaks in your fellowship with God, don't expect to have power and faith. But if you'll confess those breaks, if you'll draw up close to Jesus, abiding means fellowship and abiding means faith. And then abiding in Christ also means a dependence upon Him. He's the vine. We're the branches. He's the one that is important. He's the source of life. And if we're going to have faith, we're going to have to acknowledge our utter dependence upon Jesus. And you know, it's possible to begin our faith and begin our Christian walk in this spirit of utter dependence and humility. And then as we get a victory here, or as we have a sense of growth there, perhaps we proceed to think about it as brought about by our wisdom, or somehow that we deserve this growth. And so what has begun in dependence or begun in humility? By familiarity, becomes a self-confidence. I believe we need to be confident. I can do all things, but it also has to be through Christ that strengthens me. And so abiding in Christ means a spirit of dependence. We need to wait before the Lord until we get perspective and see that it's His grace and His strength. And really it boils down to the approval that we're seeking. And for us as Christians, if we want to have faith, just one person's approval is all important. Jesus said a few chapters back in John 5:44, "How can you believe? How can you have faith if you accept praise from one another and yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God?" If we do our service, if we're concerned basically with what we think of each other, our faith just fritters away. But if our basic concern is, "Lord, what do you think of me? Can I have your approval?" Then Jesus said we can believe. You want to turn this thing around. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another? You can believe if you accept praise from God. Remember, it's at the point where we share life with Jesus that true faith springs into reality. And at any cost, we need to maintain this vital connection. Faith means abiding. Then that second point, faith means obeying. Beginning there with verse 12, "My command is this, love each other. You are my friends if you do what I command. I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Perhaps actually obeying Christ means the same as abiding. And yet we can see a little difference there. Abiding does mean obedience, however. And obeying Christ means that we accept both His strategy and His tactics, if I could use those words. Strategy is the overall picture. It speaks to me of the crisis of full surrender. Sometime we come to a place of crisis and we say, "Lord, I want to give you all of my life." You can see the tomorrows. You can see clear down to the day of my last day on earth, and I want to give you my life. And so we accept Him as our great, what's the word, strategy maker, strategian? I don't know. Anyway, we say, "Lord, you make the strategy in our lives." But you know, it's another thing too to say how we're going to accept His tactics. Well, we know that in all things God works to them that are the called according to His purpose, that love Him. And it's important that we acknowledge God, that we obey Him, not just in the overall, overarching plan for our lives, which is important, and we need that crisis. And how wonderful it is when at a young age, before some of our other choices have been set, we say, "Lord, be the one that makes the strategy," whatever that word is. Come tell me afterward. But then we have to carry it through day by day, saying, "Lord, I give you this day. I give you the little decisions. And I believe God is interested in little things, and He'll help us in little things, down to the very details of our lives." You know, our obedience is going to be tested. I can promise you that much as your pastor. You say, I'm going to obey God. It's not just something that's automatic, and you give God your will, and from then on, it's just kind of clear sailing to heaven. Your obedience is going to be tested. It's going to be tested in your failures. You say, if I'm saved and sanctified, I should never fail. Don't I wish it were so? I think of that verse over in Luke where Jesus spoke to Peter, and he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. In our failures, Jesus Christ is praying for us. When it seems as though there's no way to go, and you're up against the brick wall, then's the time to exercise your faith and say, Lord, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going with you. I will not turn back. Jesus is praying for you that your faith won't fail. You know, I'm more concerned sometimes about successes. Our obedience will be tested in our successes too. Matthew 6:33 is the principle that we need to live by both in poverty and in plenty. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. And you know, some people that can pass the poverty test pretty well, they can't pass the plenty test. Did you ever think about plenty as being an examination of your faith and obedience to God? Some of us would like to have that test, like to have the opportunity. It'd be a great time. Someone give you $1 million, that'd be an awful exam, wouldn't it? You think it would be. I've got a buddy. He used to be a buddy. I used to shoot rabbits with him when we were teenagers. I could tell you more details about him, but I don't want to get into names. But just say this, he had a very humble background. He also had a humble faith. A few years ago, he kind of hit a gold mine. And his yearly salary went up. How many figures? Let's see. How many is $100,000? Six figures a year. I began to hear things I didn't like to hear from far away, from people that love both of us. And I said to those that were really concerned, it wasn't gossip, but I said, you know, X, I have to call him by that. X is being examined. He's in a testing situation now. God is betting on him that he can come through. He can handle this. He drives a Seville Cadillac, and he lives in a house that a lot of us would envy. But his home has fallen apart. Dropped out of worship. Oh, occasionally he supports heavily because he can afford it. But he's failed so far, failed the plenty test. And I pray that God will help us to center our faith in Christ in such a way that in poverty or in plenty, and I hope that God gives a lot of you the plenty test, because, you know, God's kingdom needs people that can pass that test. Keep him first. We need to realize that faith means abiding and faith means obedience. Why should we want more faith? And I believe we should. And the answer is, we need more faith so that we can see as Jesus sees, so that we can receive the equipment for service that Jesus wants us to receive, and so that the Spirit of Jesus can flow through us to accomplish His purpose.